Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News Christian Ministries. This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking, and I trust this broadcast finds you well this morning. I love hymns, and hymns are especially helpful when I'm driving in my car. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little bit of a heavy foot. So when I'm going 45 miles per hour, I like to listen to God Will Take Care of You. When I'm driving 55 miles per hour, I like to listen to Guide Me, O Thy Great Jehovah. When I drive 65 miles an hour, I like to listen to Nearer My God to Thee. Sometimes I hit 75 miles per hour, and that's when I turn on Nearer, Still Nearer. And just the other day, when I hit 85 miles per hour, I listened to the song, This World Is Not My Home. All right, a little bit of humor to start us off. But in all seriousness, today we're going to look at a very serious and wonderful topic, namely Holy Communion. And the title of today's message is Table on the Move. Let me say that again, Table on the Move. We're going to quickly learn that the communion that we take as Christian believers should happen in three spheres, namely in the church, in the home, and in the neighborhood. That's right, we should be taking the table to the church, to the home, and to the neighborhood. Now, St. Maximilian Kolbe once said this following profound quotation, "If angels could be jealous of men, they would be so for one reason, Holy Communion." And Richard Foster, in his classic book, Celebration of Discipline, has this to say about communion. He says, "We who have turned our lives over to Christ need to know how very much He longs to eat with us, to commune with us. He desires a perpetual Eucharistic feast in the inner sanctuary of the heart." Let's pray before I dive in. Gracious Father, we thank You that You have given us communion, indeed Your very blood and Your very body to feast upon. And today, we pray that we would unpack the glorious mystery of this divine presence. And we pray, Lord, that each and every listener today would be edified by Your word as it is proclaimed, and encouraged by Your spirit, and that You would receive all glory from beginning to end. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to be looking at three things this morning. First, the table in the worship service or the church, the table at home, and the table in the neighborhood. Let's start with the table at church. You know, communion, when it's served at church, is all about reconciliation with God. It's all about reconciliation with God, and it really focuses upon a ritual, namely the Last Supper. The Last Supper. And it's a ritual that focuses upon the past. Indeed, it's a memorial of the very Last Supper that Jesus Christ enjoyed with His disciples. Now, we are told from the scriptures that Jesus Christ met, and He said, "This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Friends, this is the stuff of reconciliation between humanity and God. Now, the Last Supper, when served in church, is very much a ritual, and rituals are actually good. Peter Enns has this to say about rituals in his novel, The Exodus. He says, "Rituals are good, and they are instituted and used by God to connect his people with him. We learn through ritual that the church is not just made up of individuals, but is a corporate body. It is not just about personal salvation, but rather a group of people, the people of God, who are bound to one another and to the faithful through the generations." And so, friends, the ritual that is Holy Communion, otherwise known as the Last Supper, binds us together with over 2,000 years of Christ followers who have gone before us. And when we take Holy Communion, we look to the past. We look to the Last Supper that Jesus took. And when we do, it behooves us to enter into careful self-examination, because we need forgiveness for our sins. Paul admonishes us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. He says, "Let a person examine himself, then eat of the bread and drink of the cup." And Karl Barth explains, "Holy Communion is offered to all, as surely as the living Jesus Christ is for all. Yes, all of us poor sinners, all of us rich through his mercy." Friends, when we ready ourselves for Holy Communion, we approach the cup and the bread as poor sinners, in the words of Karl Barth, in need of fresh mercy. And I have good news. The scriptures tell us that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. I don't know about you, but I need to carefully examine myself each time I take the Last Supper. You know, just a week ago, I realized anew the words of Jeremiah that says, "The heart is deceitful above all else." Let me give you my example. A week ago, my dear husband Michael took me golfing, and we came up to hole number 5, and I could see as I was driving down the fairway that I could possibly achieve par. It was par 4. And so I took my first shot, and then my second, and my third, and par was in reach. But alas, I didn't quite make it. Instead of 4 shots, I actually took 5. But a funny thing happened when I got into the golf cart with my husband. He looked at the scorecard and he said, "Juliet, why does your score say 4.5? Friends, if you can believe it, I actually deluded myself into thinking that I deserved a 0.5. Not quite a 5, but a 4.5, because my last shot was so close. Friends, this is the stuff of delusion, and Jeremiah says our hearts are deceitful above all else. Before you take communion, examine yourself carefully. We have sins of commission, things we do, and sins of omission, things we fail to do. Now, when you take the bread and the cup, you shall receive forgiveness anew, and you shall also receive strength. Have you ever wondered why we don't serve potato chips for communion? One of my fellow youth pastors one time got in a lot of trouble by serving potato chips for communion. Potato chips just won't cut it, friends. There's a reason why God chose bread. Bread is nourishing and sustaining and life-giving. Indeed, Jesus said in John chapter 6, "I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Indeed, when we take Holy Communion and celebrate the ritual that is the Last Supper, we nourish on the life-giving bread that is Christ. Prepare yourselves for that Holy Communion this morning. Now we're going to break for a song, a beautiful one named El Shaddai by Amy Grant. And when we return, we're going to extend this table from the church to the home.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon. power of the name El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Son of Abraham, through the power of your hand, you turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. By your might, you set your children free. El Shaddai, the time of Christ was near. Though the people couldn't see what Messiah ought to be, your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your Son. I will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
Welcome back to Good News Christian Ministries. This is Pastor Juliet Schimpf speaking, and today we're talking about the table on the move. In our previous portion of this program, we talked about the table in the church, and we looked at how Holy Communion is referred to as the Last Supper. And now we want to look at the table in the home. You see, there's another term for Holy Communion, and that is the Lord's Supper. Now, whereas the Last Supper focuses on the past and is the stuff of ritual, the Lord's Supper is the stuff of the present, and it focuses not on ritual, but relationship. Let me explain with a quote by George Wasserman. When the Lord's Supper does not include the call to mission, it often feels like nothing more than a memorial of the Last Supper. We are first and foremost to eat and drink together, to love and serve one another. This is a meal, and it happens in the present tense. And so the Lord's Supper and the Last Supper are related, but not the same. The Last Supper only happened once. It is the Lord's Supper that the church has been celebrating ever since. Let me explain a little more. On Sundays, when we experience the Last Supper, we receive the hospitality of the Lord's communion. But we are called to then extend that hospitality to others throughout the week. And we see that actually in the Acts 2 model of the early church. In Acts 2:42, it says that the early believers devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And verse 46 says, they met together every day in the temple courts, but they also broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Friends, I want to encourage you to meet with one another in your homes and to break bread around the table. David Fitch, who wrote Prodigal Christianity, explains what happens when we take the Lord's Supper into our homes. He says this, as we sit around this table, we practice a relaxation, a ceasing of striving, and letting things be as God is using us in each other's lives. We listen to each other, and instead of doing things, we practice the discipline of being with one another. There's nothing programmed here. It's just people talking. And through this social sacrament, he says, God works to bleed his forgiveness and new life in and through his people in the neighborhood. And so let me ask you, when was the last time you welcomed someone into your home to enjoy a meal? When was the last time you invited someone from your church into your home to have a meal? Do you realize that as soon as Lydia became the first European convert in Acts chapter 16, she invited Paul into her home? Acts 16 verse 15 says this, when she, Lydia, and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us, that's Paul and his colleagues, to her home. She said, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. Friends, I want to encourage you this summer to invite someone from your church into your home. Now, maybe you're saying to yourself, I don't cook, Juliet. Okay, may I encourage you to order in some Chinese food and put it on the table? Maybe you're saying to yourself, Juliet, I'm taking the summer off. May I remind you, friends, that the kingdom of God is 24/7, 365 days of the year. Maybe you're saying to yourself, I don't like anyone in my church. I relate better with the friends from the bowling alley or the mothers from the soccer club. Well, friends, I encourage you to sit at the table with people from your church precisely so that God's love can be ushered in to your community. You see, things happen when you have a meal. We are made freshly aware of the realities of Christ in our lives. This happened when Jesus was walking with his friends, namely Cleopas, on the road to Emmaus. At first, they did not recognize Jesus Christ. Now, they urged him to come and eat at his home, and Luke 24 tells us, in verse 30, that when Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Verse 31 tells us that then around the meal table, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Friends, when you have people from your church around your table, at your home, you will begin to see afresh Jesus Christ in their lives. This is the table in the home. We're now going to hear a song called Because He Lives. And when we return, we'll close with the third installment of this program, namely, The Table in the Neighborhood.
How sweet to hold our newborn babies and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance our boy can face uncertain days, because he lives. Because he lives.
Welcome back to Good News Christian Ministries. Today we're looking at the table on the move. And we're looking at how Holy Communion has a missional component and is to take place in the church and then the home and then the neighborhood. Let's talk about the neighborhood. I want to quote from George Wasserman again. He says, "If we have a hard time getting the Lord's Supper out of the past and into the present, we have an even harder time imagining ourselves into the future tense. But the Lord's Supper also points to the messianic banquet at the end of time. And here, the missional connections become inescapable." Friends, what I want to talk about in these closing minutes is the fact that the Holy Communion is not just for the past, not just for the present, but also for the future. You see, another word for Holy Communion is Eucharist. And that means celebration. Celebration of Christ's resurrection and celebration of his kingdom to come. And so when we think about the futuristic component of the Holy Communion, we cannot help but think about the world at large. Mother Teresa once said, "When you learn to meet God in the bread and the cup, you can learn to see God in the poor." I want to encourage you, fellow listeners, to actually buy a meal or have a meal with someone from the wider community, be it in Tim Hortons or in a local restaurant. I want you to basically treat a stranger to a meal. And it doesn't need to be a Christian. You see, in Mark 2, we're told that Jesus, while having dinner at Levi's house, also enjoyed dinner with many tax collectors and sinners who surrounded him with his disciples. Friends, we have to get out of the church and out of our homes and into the wider community. And when we do, miracles will happen. Namely, social relationships will be reorganized. Have you ever asked yourself why God instituted simple bread and the cup? Not caviar and not champagne, just simple bread and the cup. It's because the bread and the cup are accessible to all social classes and they break down all social barriers. In Luke 22, we're told that when Jesus served communion, his disciples began to argue amongst themselves about which would be the greatest in the kingdom. Jesus replied, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves?" Friends, let me give an example of what it means to take communion into the neighborhood. And this will be my closing story. When I studied over at Oxford in England, I had a tough time because I was the youngest in the college. I was also a girl, and I was a Canadian. And frankly, I was frowned upon. But I'll tell you what I decided to do. I became friendly with one of the poorest of the poor in the college. It was an older lady who served coffee in the common room. Well, the time came when I graduated, and I had three tickets to the Sheldonian Theater, designed by Christopher Wren. I decided to give one ticket to my mother, one ticket to my father, and the third ticket to this poor servant woman who served coffee faithfully at Wolfson College. She was invited, as a result, to a massive banquet of celebration for all graduates. Can you believe everyone's surprise when she appeared as my guest? Friends, she was touched deeply, and she went on months later to accept the Lord, and to this day, each Christmas, she mails me a calendar. You see, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Find someone today in the neighborhood and treat them to a meal. God bless.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.